Blog Talk Radio.
No lie, game of pitfall, swing over the fallicators. Living the obstacles, it's mission impossible. Third in the series.
Well, y'all, good evening. Might be and all that good stuff. Hope y'all doing well. First of all, I guess I should introduce myself. My name is Scott Burks, creator of the Clown Town Sports Blog. And the HNIC of the Clown Hour, the podcast sponsored by the Clown Times. And speaking of the content, you can find us on the web. Just do a search for www.theclowntimes.net. That's clown with K, by the way. And you can also find us on Facebook. Just do a search for The Clown Times. Again, that's clown with K. You'll be able to find me. We have a special treat tonight. We're going to, since college football is literally right around the corner, we're going to get to the first of a series of conference previews. And by conference, I mean the major conferences. So basically, if you're not the Big Five, that is the ACC, the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and the SEC, no one cares about you, and neither do I. So at any rate, with that in mind, we're going to start with the Big Ten tonight. We'll be speaking to a distinguished gentleman who not only is my line brother. We played the great A5A together. But he also is a graduate of the Ohio State University, and he will be talking. He'll be previewing the 2013 Ohio State season with us, as well as the Big Ten football season. So, his name is Jeff Glenn. Jag, welcome to the Clown Hour, my friend.
Oh, thanks so much for inviting me, Scott. I'm a big fan, and I enjoy the chance to be on the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for making me feel a little bit better about myself. But first of all, before we get into it, like I said earlier, you are big. Not only you are a proud Ohio State alum, you're also a big-time Michigan hitter, which we'll get to in a moment. But at any rate, just tell the folks here, first of all, where you're from, when you go to school at Ohio State, and if you want to, what made you choose the Scarlet and Gray?
Well, I'm from Cincinnati. I grew up here, and I went to I decided to go to college at Ohio State mainly for financial reasons. I earned a 3/4 scholarship there, and it was really the best deal for me. And I was interested in medicine, particularly in dentistry, and I knew that Ohio State had a dental school right there on campus, so it felt like it was a logical choice to go there. Ended up going there for undergrad and dentistry school. And, just made it the full 8 years up there. And, by the time I'd spent 8 years at Ohio State, I was practically bleeding scarlet and gray, and there was really no turning around from there. Hello?
Okay, sorry about that, folks. Jeff, you still there, buddy? Jeff?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry about that. It's technical difficulties. One of the things about how hosting a podcast is that sometimes a call can drop for whatever reason, and actually that's the first time it's happened to me. So I apologize to everyone out there, and I apologize to you, Jeff. So hopefully...
no problem. Like I said, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, I hope the tech guys won't screw me over yet again. But you were in the middle of a flow right there for a minute, and I apologize for that.
Like I said, I went to Ohio State mainly because the program was good, the chemistry program was good. They offered me a scholarship and a work program that made it feasible for me to go, and ended up going there for undergraduate and dental school. And by the time I'd been in Ohio State for 8 years, I was pretty much indoctrinated into being a Buckeye fan, so I try to follow my school and be a proud alum. That's the way it goes.
And there you go. And you know what's funny? I was getting into was that at my wedding, you know, when you know, of course, you were one of my groomsmen. You know, my wife is a Michigan grad, and I remember when one of her friends like read some type of like a tribute note to me, but mentioned the phrase the Great Big Blue Michigan, and that time they just peered my eye towards you, and you just. Just rolled your eyes and shook your head. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I tried to keep from just collapsing or coughing or making any kind of a scene, but that was a little bit hard to swallow. But I got through it. So no, but
dude,
it's funny how I've changed a little bit about Michigan. I don't.
What?
I understand now. Oh, I understand now that for Ohio State to be great, we need Michigan to be great. I realized,
right.
You know, when they lost to Appalachian State and they had that 3-9 season, I realized that
mm-hmm.
when we beat them 42-7, that there was no joy in it. I realize now that I need, you know, you need your, just like a great movie is only as good as the villain. A great Ohio State season we need to break their hearts. I enjoyed it much more when they were 11-0 in 2006 and they came here and we crushed their spirit and. Broke their national championship dreams. That was much more enjoyable than just beating up on them
right.
when they were down. So I'm one of the few Ohio State fans that actually wants Michigan to win up until the time they play us.
I don't think you're the only one, though. No, I'm not the only one, but I take a lot of flack for that.
Root for Michigan. When Michigan made the Final Four in the national championship game, I was rooting for them.
Wow.
So,
you know what, though? I would say this, and we'll get to basketball a little momentarily, but I want to touch on Big Ten football. That's a good segue because it was a down year for you guys last year.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, outside of Ohio State going
12-0. Yes, I've been following Big Ten football probably since the early 80s, maybe 30 years or so. Don't want to give away my age, but I've been following it for a long time. And that was clearly the worst season that I can remember. Michigan got obliterated by Alabama to start the season. UCLA crushed Nebraska. We lost all of our major bowl games and major non-conference games and barely had anyone ranked in the top 25. Ohio State and Penn State were on probation. And this is a season where the Big Ten really needs to turn it around to get some of their image back. Because right now, out of the Big Five, we're used to, seven or eight years ago, we were going toe-to-toe with the SEC, and now we've fallen behind the Big 12 and maybe the ACC as far as prestige, and we need to get it back.
Right.
So I think this is a big year for the Big Ten. We've got some early tests. We got Notre Dame is coming to the Big House, and Michigan needs to take care of that. You know, UCLA is coming to Nebraska. Wisconsin is going to Arizona State. We need to win those games. And when Ohio State goes to Cal, Berkeley, that's going to be a tough one because Cal's got a new coach and they're going to use that spread wild offense and you never know what can happen in those games. But the Big Ten needs to nail it down and start getting its prestige back.
And factor in Ohio State will be traveling cross country, which is never
easy. It's never easy to go out there. We've got to go out to Cal. We beat Cal here in Columbus last year, but they put a couple of 80-yard runs on us, and they got some track stars out there who can wreak havoc if we're not careful.
Right.
And something else is interesting that happened with Ohio State. For the first time since I've been following Buckeyes, I'm actually concerned about the Northwestern game. Northwestern has a good team this year, and we've got to go to Northwestern, and they schedule it at night, and it's right after the Wisconsin game, and that could be a trap game. That could be something to worry about a little bit. I never thought I would say the words, I'm concerned about Northwestern, but I said it this year.
They're ranked 22nd in the preseason poll.
Yeah,
they're nationally ranked, and they're
coming off a 10-win season. I believe they won their bowl game last year, and
They got
a tough quarterback, Kevin Coulter, and they got their running back, Venerick Mark, I believe. And they're nothing to sneeze at. The Ohio State can't just waltz in there and and expect to just be another Ohio State Northwestern blowout.
Right, right. Now, I think Northwestern won the Gator Bowl.
Yeah, they won their bowl. They had 10 wins, and they won their bowl game for the first time in a million years or whatever it was. So.
Yep.
So they're coming. Michigan and Nebraska. Gosh, Nebraska was such an embarrassment, giving up 70 points every time you turn around. But, I mean, we put 63 on them, and then Wisconsin put 70 points on them, and goodness. They make a big deal out of their blood. They have the black shirt defense and all that stuff, and I don't know if they switched to coral pink or what, but they got to get it. They got to get it back going again.
How about flat or pastel? How about that? How about pastel?
But they got to get it open again. But I think everybody in Buckeye Country is really fired up. We went undefeated last year, and we didn't get to play in the bowl game. And, you know, it's like we're ready to go this time.
Oh, you know what? I mean, your boys would play Alabama.
People in Columbus, yes, people in Columbus are already talking about playing Alabama in the national championship game, which is ridiculously premature. But
you think so?
Because there are some – first of all, you've got to be ranked in the top two, which means you just about have to go undefeated. Sometimes with one loss you get it. But you got the Cal game, you got the Wisconsin game, you've got the Northwestern game, you've got Michigan, and you've got the Big Ten championship game. So, I mean, it's not a tough schedule. There's no top 10 teams on the schedule. I can see that, but it's going undefeated is never a given. No, that's why only one or two teams do it every year. I'll tell you what, on Ohio State, Alabama national championship game, especially since they were the top two teams last year, I think that would be a ratings bonanza, and that would really set everything off.
Yeah. Now, if Ohio State went on probation, like you had two undefeated teams last year, technically. You know, you had Notre Dame and Ohio State. Which would have been playing better, which would have been our national championship game, really.
I think
you guys have a good shot this year. I honestly think you do. Look at your schedule. I think you guys got a good shot.
We got a lot of tough returning players. We got Carlos Hyde. We got I forget his name. We got this new freshman running back who's supposed to be a big speed guy. We've got Urban. Last year, Urban had to do it with somebody else's. Urban had to do it with somebody else's players. But now he's got the recruits that he wants to implement his spread offense, and they say they're ready to go. And he's got to be a top five Heisman candidate, Braxton, right?
Right. Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, Braxton. Yeah. No, he's definitely there. So. I didn't know that he rushed over 1,000 yards last year. I'm just looking at his stats.
He can. Yeah, he can do it with his feet, and he throws a pretty good pass too. Yeah. He can get it done on the ground, man. He can. He was eating up some yardage.
He's
a threat. You can't just sit back and double cover everybody. He will take off on you.
Right. So basically. Since we're talking Ohio State now, I'm going to focus on Ohio State for a minute before we talk Big Ten, big picture here.
Okay.
I'm looking at your schedule. To be honest with you, I know you're scared, you're nervous about Cal because it's on the road and it's prime time Fox. But, San Diego State's not a bad squad either, but you got Nebraska shoe. And you got, in Buffalo, you got Nebraska shoe as well. Florida A&M, that's like a walkover. So you get Wisconsin at home, but to me, your toughest game would not be the one at the end at Michigan. Guys got Michigan's number. I don't think that's going to – I mean, it's going to be a battle for sure, but I think you guys should win that game. You guys should be
I think so, too,
But I got my eyes trained on the Northwestern game.
That's what I was talking about, because if we Wisconsin is always Wisconsin. Well, you know how Wisconsin plays. They're from the old school. They're rough and tumble, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They always have a Jamel White. He was the second string running back last year. He scored 12 touchdowns himself. And so he'll be the lead running back. They got this guy, this new guy, Melvin Gordon. And Wisconsin always puts, you know, after you play Wisconsin, you know you've been in a football game. They're going to be sore. They're going to be tired. And if they squeak past Wisconsin, they can't sleep on Northwestern. So I agree with you wholeheartedly that that game could definitely be – that game could definitely trip us up. It's going to be nighttime. Those Northwestern kids who have never been involved in anything that big are going to be drinking all day long. And that stadium is going to be louder than it's ever been before, and they're gonna bring it. They got a tough coach out there, and Northwestern. Who ever heard of Northwestern playing in prime time? They're going to be sky high. They're going to be ready to go.
Yeah.
And you know the thing about Northwestern and some of the other second tier Big Ten schools, they got a lot of kids there who wanted to go to Ohio State, Michigan, and may not have gotten recruited, or may have been a little too short or too slow, and they got a chip on their shoulder, and then when they go up against Ohio State, they're going to say, hey, they're going to look over at the coaching staff and say, hey, you shouldn't have passed me up. I just sacked your boy, and you should have had me on your team.
Right.
So a lot of times those kids have something to prove.
Yeah. Now, the question is, we're segueing towards the Big Ten now, but keeping it in Ohio State's focus for one more minute. It's not, to me, look at the Big Ten this year, the question is, it's not necessarily who's going to win it, because, I mean, odds are in favor, everybody says Ohio State's going to walk away with it, but who's going to challenge them? Who's going to oppose those, your boys, in the Big Ten championship game? I mean, The
Nebraska
still can't stop anybody, and you got Michigan.
Yeah, Nebraska. Yeah, I don't fear Nebraska, Michigan. Well, I get confused about the leaders and legends. I think the other division is the legends. And I guess the top three teams are Michigan, Nebraska, and Northwestern. So it's probably be one of those three. I think. And Nebraska upset Michigan last year, and I think Michigan will get them back this year. I don't know anything about Michigan's new quarterback, but they're supposed to be ready to go. So, you know, I predict that Ohio State and Michigan will be playing back-to-back. They'll play the final game of the regular season, and then they'll play the Big Ten championship.
Yeah. Well, you think Michigan
but
is going to represent
the
legend.
That's going to happen, because next year they're realigning the divisions, and Michigan will be in our division or something.
So what do you think about that? Michigan is
I think it's going to be well. I think once again, I think that's another strike. That's another thing that Ohio State will have to hurdle. It's tough to beat a team 2 weeks in a row. I mean, if we do beat Michigan the first time, they'll be gunning for us the second time. You know, anybody who's played basketball at the Y, and you play a 5-on-5 game, and the team that loses always says, run it back, let's go again. And they're more fired up to win than you are, because you just won. And so if we defeat Michigan, you know, it's too bad, because if Ohio State and Michigan split those two games, that might knock both teams out of the national championship picture. So that could conceivably happen, too. You know, I was never in favor of a conference championship game. It's just another game that can trip you up, but I certainly understand the finances of it. And
money.
If the SEC is raising $15 million for when they play the championship game, then we've got to get our share of it too. So we have to have it too.
Yeah. So speaking of first of all, just like before I move on, I'm going to toss my idea in the hat about division name changes. I know you guys went east and west, but I was hoping to go Afro and Sheen.
What do you want to call it? Afro and Sheen?
Afro and Sheen, man.
I thought you were going to say Woody and Bo.
No. I was going to it's that out of the box thinking, you know.
That may be a little too ethnic for the non Soul Train viewers of the Big Ten. So.
Well, how about Peaches and Herb? Well, that but then again, that's too old
school. Might be good. Well, we can't have it with some of the infractions that we've had with certain hallucinogenic substances.
Right.
We can't have a division called herb. So. That's not going to work.
Oh,
kids are
going to want to
be in the herb
God.
Division, so we can't do
right,
that.
Right. We're signing my ass
peaches.
Up, man.
Yeah, when you think of peaches, you think of Georgia, so we can't have that either. So.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, that's true. No more SEC.
No more SEC. We got to take them out, man. It's funny because Urban's the one who started it all when Florida just stomped on us and with 2006, I believe.
Yes, he did. He coached them.
Yeah, he coached them, and they blew us out. They were really. I think our guys were doing the banquet circuit, and they hadn't played for 7 weeks. And Troy Smith gained 15 pounds, and I know Florida back then. Those four defensive tackles of Florida, I think they're still in the NFL now. So they just brought it. We didn't have time to do anything. But yeah, the SEC has dominated the Big Ten and everybody else for ever since.
Everybody else too, yeah. That's just y'all.
So.
They're on the ACC too. The ACC is their little brothers.
We got to get after them. I think they may. I don't know. If Ohio State beats Alabama, they just might. Urban might be the next governor. Who knows? He can do whatever he wants in Ohio.
I think he's well on his way to doing it. He's getting his guys in. He's got Braxton Miller. I mean, he's got a stud.
Yeah.
Now, looking at the rest of the Big Ten right quick, I'm gonna step into next year, but before I step into next year, Penn State.
Yeah, Penn State is tough for Penn State. Penn State still got talent, but they're down to 70 scholarships, and they're just – it sounds like a lot, but it really thins you out. And They just don't have a lot of depth to really compete, and I know they've got a new quarterback. They got some new people. They still got talent.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those kids didn't bolt, and so they've still got talent, but they're still not eligible for a bowl game or the conference championship game. And so, I think that may hang over them a little bit. And
I think it's the next 3 years.
It's just too bad that the despicable actions of one man can, just take a whole program and screw it up like that. But Penn State will be tough, and they'll pull a couple upsets, and if you sleep on them, they can get you. But I don't expect them. I expect them to go something like 5-3 or something in the conference. I mean, they'll still do well, but they won't be a championship team.
Well, that speaks to the coaching of I forget his name. Oh my God, I forget his name. The coach up there.
He has done a masterful job of keeping those kids together and keeping that program going. And I believe last year they finished. The funny thing about last year is, I think Wisconsin finished third in the division behind Ohio State and Penn State. But
that's
since
both
teams were ineligible, Wisconsin got to go to the championship game. So, we're finishing second in the division after all they went through was miraculous.
Well, that speaks to good coaching.
He should have been coach of the year. Yeah, because that's just an amazing, that's an amazing job. So hats off to him. And I'm sure he got other offers, and he stuck. So really says something about his character,
offers,
too. Yeah, so
I think he got
a
couple offers from the league, from the NFL, but he chose to stay.
Wow, okay. He chose to stay.
Yeah,
huh?
so he stayed
and he got those kids together.
I gotta give him credit. Right,
because
Penn State had no business winning 6 conference games, let alone 8 overall games.
Yeah. That's amazing. 6-2. I mean, that's something. They crushed. They definitely had some notable wins and.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Ohio State and Penn State were probably the, were two of the brighter stories, but both were ineligible, so that really cut down our chances of doing anything in bowls or anything else.
Right.
Well, so that means every Big Ten team went to a bowl that was a little more advanced than they should have gone to.
Yeah, because you have did Purdue go to a bowl game? I think they did.
I think Purdue did. That's right. We had our backup
Purdue
quarterback save the Purdue game. Yeah, so.
Interesting. Now, let's look towards next year. You guys got 14 okay. teams, Rutgers and Maryland coming in. You know, of course, I live in D.C. area, you know, so I run across Maryland fans almost every day. What do you think? So, first of all, I mean, of course, I'm an ACC. I grew up in North Carolina. I'm an ACC guy through and through. And,
right.
And I know you guys made your business decision. You know, you guys in Maryland get the D.C. market that you guys wanted to expand the network.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But Maryland and its stuff, like, financially screwed up athletics department, they ain't got Rutgers who, with that scam with the college basketball coach calling
kids
epithets and throwing the balls at them. What do you think of the pickups?
I think it's a little bit of a, I mean, there's certainly a little bit of a risk. There's a high gain at the other end, but,
right.
I think his name is Calhoun. The Big Ten commissioner, Jim Delaney, I think is his name, and he went for it. He said that bringing in these markets are going to be important, and you know, I think he looks toward eventually going to 16, and I think he wanted to have an Eastern presence. I think he eventually wants to either get Boston College or another Eastern team and form some kind of Eastern division out there. And so he wanted those big markets. He wanted those big markets to bring the eyeballs for the TV ratings and compete. And he's gambling that that Maryland and Rutgers, by joining the Big Ten, they'll be able to attract more recruits and build their programs up. Is the key. So eventually, I think this is a step going from 14 to 16. You bring in Boston College, and then, of course, the Holy Grail is always Notre Dame, and so if his dream would be to get Boston College and Notre Dame in the conference, and you've got to be ready to fight. I think the SEC wants to expand to 16, and I think Ohio State made a preemptive move. I think if Ohio State hadn't gotten Maryland, I think the SEC would have invited Maryland. And
yeah,
so they were.
I think they
would have considered Maryland. Sure, that's the D.C. market. It's southern enough to where it's not unreasonable. It's not totally unreasonable. I mean, they've got the SEC has. Yes. What? How far north does it go? Do they have any? They don't think they have Virginia teams, do they?
No, they have Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah. So that's not too far away. But,
I said this about Boston College and Notre Dame. Now,
I think they would love to get those two. What?
Right. Yeah. I was going to say the conference ACC just signed a grant of rights in April. That's going to be for the next 13 years.
So it'll be financially prohibitive for a team to leave now, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
So we might not be able to get them. Yeah.
Well, I think it was a rumor. Well, we know about what we say about rumors, but the Big Ten was looking at both Vanderbilt, well, three teams: Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, and Kansas. Now, here's what I think. After the Big 12's grant of rights expire, I think theirs expires. I think maybe five more years. I'm probably wrong with that, but I think five or six more years. I think that Delaney has had his eyes on the Kansas City market in Kansas for a long time. Kansas is academically a good school, and I think the AAU as well.
And it's a good fit with Iowa and Nebraska too, because it's geographically. That would be a good fit. I think Ohio State is against having Cincinnati. Cincinnati is like the odd team out.
Yeah.
Cincinnati is probably the biggest school that's not in one of the Big Five conferences.
Right.
So they're kind of the odd team out. But I think Ohio State would veto Cincinnati coming in. Ohio State considers Cincinnati their territory.
Cincinnati
still plays in a little bandbox, 30,000 people at Nippert Stadium.
Yeah.
And they compete with
the Bengals, so
that's a problem.
Right. The thing is about Cincinnati, to your point, that they're not big enough, but but they're too big for the small houses.
Yeah.
They're too big for the
right.
mountain. They're too big for
yeah.
Mountain West. They're too big for those conferences. But the thing
right.
is unless the Big 10, the Big 12 rather, choose to expand, which I doubt they will anytime soon,
right.
then the
yeah.
new season
yeah,
for our personnel.
Right, they're caught in the middle. They're kind of like a tweener. They're just too big for the small conferences, and they're not quite attractive enough for the big ones.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah,
now,
we'll see. But I think this move to 14 is a stepping stone to 16, and we'll just have to see how it goes.
Do you guys think you add, like, a UConn?
Well, anything's possible. I think another team in the East would be, would be what Delaney seems to be interested in, and that way you could form an Eastern division, and non-revenue schools wouldn't have to travel as much. They just wouldn't play – the East and West just wouldn't play each other that much, you know, like,
yeah.
in other events. You could just have, you know, Maryland and Rutgers and UConn, and those schools could just play each other a lot and cut down and save a lot of money by not having them – you know, you don't want UConn playing Nebraska in field hockey. Because that's just going to drive up too many costs, and nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
So you're looking
yeah.
to build rivalries. So yeah, I think another East. If they can't give Austin scholars, I think they do want another Eastern school or two. And besides, I mean, the East is highly populated, and it's all about TV ratings now. So the East
right.
becomes much more attractive to schools because of the density. Because you can get, I mean. They might not fill the stadium, but if you bring high TV ratings, that's where the money is anyway.
Yeah. Now, speaking of East, Big Ten versus the East Coast, I think, it's not that I think, I know, you guys in the ACC are in like a tug of war battle over New York.
Yeah,
because
I think
you guys
so.
And the ACC are going to be playing in the Pinstripe Bowl after this season. For the next 6 years, for the following 6 years, and you know both conferences are staking their claims, which will make a very fun, quite a fun battle, if you will, for that. You know, I think that also once the ACC and I believe the ACC will get their TV network going sooner rather than later. It's going to be interesting, I think. I think it's going to be interesting to see the Big Ten try to expand.
Yeah, because the Big
will
Ten
not
is
try
kind of
to
mean,
expand
you,
their brand.
Yeah. So what you're saying is the Big Ten is encroaching on the ACC territory. It'll be interesting to see how the ACC responds and kind of pushes back, huh?
I think they have to. I mean, because
yeah,
the, you guys are the money machine. You know, you guys
mm-hmm.
printing money with your network and,
right.
you know, with your
yeah.
brand. I mean, you know, I like what Well, and I'm not going to turn this to an ACC podcast, so I'm not trying to do it. But it's just from mere observation that, you know, John Swofford made his announcement in New York City about the new teams and made an announcement about the Pinstripe Bowl with the Big Ten. But then the Big Ten, obviously, I mean, you guys are going to have a foothold of some sort, at least with Rutgers and Maryland.
Right. Rutgers
you know what
is supposed
mean?
To the New York, New Jersey market.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
that's gonna be our beachhead for that market, and it's the number one market in the country. So,
so
if Rutgers can get their program together, that's a real coup to have them come along. If you can, but New York has never been known for being a college football place. They've got two NFL teams, and they seem
right.
to be tied up in that, which what makes
mm-hmm.
that's what makes it a little bit speculative. And number two,
right.
you can how many ways do you want to cut up the pie? Now you're going to cut up the pie 14 ways. That puts a lot of pressure
right.
on the top teams to keep printing this money and keeping the lower teams fed too. So it's a bit of a risk when you get a 14-16. I mean that's a little less for everybody when you start dividing everything up because you know you can get
yeah.
to a point where you know you can't have a situation where two or three teams are trying to carry the load for 14.
Right.
So they're gonna have to build their programs up and bring come along and win some games too. They're gonna have to get some. You know, they're gonna have to contribute something too. So that's what makes it a little iffy. But I don't want to bet
yeah.
against Jim Delaney because he started the. Everyone laughed at him when he started the Big Ten Network, and nobody's laughing now.
Oh no. They're jealous because they're emulating his blueprint.
Yeah, everybody's trying to emulate it, you know, because the program is so cheap to just show old games, and the programming is so cheap, and the money is nearly all profit.
Right.
So it's just been, yeah, it's just been a cash cow. And then you're right, all the other conferences are trying to do it now too. I consider it a bit of a risk to expand like this. It's a bit of a risk.
It's
but
a big risk.
I'm not gonna bet against Delaney. He's proven that he knows what he's doing.
And far be it for me to bet against Delaney, and because he's proven with the Big Ten Network, he knows what the hell he's doing. I'm just thinking, I mean, Rutgers is one thing. You get the New York, New Jersey market. I get that move through and through. So I don't have a problem with them having Rutgers. And, you know, it's just, you know, and granted, as an ACC guy, y'all could have Maryland, first of all. But I'll
really?
Say this. You know, I mean, sure, you're going to lose the D.C. market. You know, that's important. That was pretty much the ACC's calling, one of the calling cards of the ACC. But the thing is Maryland is such a hot mess. And they'll get the money while being in the Big Ten because, you know, if the revenues go as projected for the Big Ten and for the schools with this network over the next few years, and I think you guys are going to hit those benchmarks and then some. It's just that Maryland is such a hot mess. They had to drop seven of their sports. Because they screwed up, the athletics department screwed up their budgets royally, but the thing is what gave me a little bit of pause is that even with the money that's projected is going to come rolling in through being part of the Big Ten, Maryland's athletics department is so jacked up that they won't even bring the seven sports back, at least for another 4 or 5 years. I've read, you know,
right.
Because
yeah,
that
which, yeah.
messed up.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. Just, you know, having a lot of money roll in is only the first step. You still got to manage it wisely. You still got to have competent athletic directors and people who are visionaries and can see what you know where the money can go to get the most value.
Right.
Maryland's kind of turning around. We got to get rid of those ugly ass uniforms. Oh, excuse my language. We got to get rid of those ugly uniforms. And we got to get them to get it together there. They can't come to the Big Ten.
Right answer, by the way.
You can't come to the Big Ten. The Big Ten is, you know, the Big Ten, we have a little bit of, you know, we try to be a little bit more elegant than that. We have a bit of a reputation.
Yeah,
you can't come looking like your Aunt Flo designed the uniforms. We can't do that with the flags and whatever they're trying to do, so.
Oh my God, we got
to get them straightened out with that.
Uh-huh. You know what? I remember the first time seeing those hideous-ass uniforms 2 years ago when they played in Miami, you know, the quote-unquote Maryland Pride uniforms. People talked about it, but they took any type of exposure as a positive. I couldn't watch the game. I could not watch that game.
It hurt my eyes to watch
Maryland that night.
I figured it had to have been something from the 20s or 30s, and maybe they were having a throwback day, and I'd only have to see this once in my life. But there was something new that they designed. I was shocked when I found out that, this is something new that somebody actually thought would look good.
I'm the owner. He's a Maryland grad, and he designed those ugly uniforms.
We got to get that. Before they hit the Big Ten, Delaney or somebody's got to sit down and talk to them. It's like, look, you're going to have millions of people watching you on TV now. You're coming to the big time now. You can't be looking like a beer league softball team out there.
Oh my God,
This is the real deal. That's the only thing.
I kind of worry about as far as, you know, being just an objective observer is that for next season, I mean, just, and like I said, I understand Rutgers, it's not necessarily for the athletic products, but just for the markets. So I get
Rutgers is so far, you almost had to get somebody like Maryland so Rutgers would have some kind of a geographical rival.
Right.
I mean, they're so far away from everybody else that, you almost had to bring in another, you know, another East Coast team just to have somebody within the somebody within shouting distance.
Right, right. So. But it's all good. I think like to your point, this you don't want to doubt John Delaney. Well, Jim Delaney.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Jim Delaney. And he knows what the hell he's doing. He's a very smart dude. Even though it took him, he was like the last guy to agree to a college football playoff. But I won't hold that against him.
Hey, so while I've got you on the phone, this is I don't want to be too far off topic, but I always wanted to know, and I consider you to be an expert, how come the same people who are against an 18-game season expanding football, pro football, the same people want more college games, want the college kids to play more games?
You know why? Because it brings more money to NCAA. It brings more money to from TV viewership, and you know, it's money. You know, I mean,
so all this talk about the 18-game schedule isn't really about player safety.
No, that's bullshit. Well, first of all, and we could talk about this in another podcast, but Roger Goodell is full of shit. I think we all know that. You know what I'm saying? I think Saints fans know that, that's for sure, but he's full of shit, and the NCAA leadership is full of shit, Mark Emmert's full of shit, and, you know, it is what it is. I mean,
They talk about protecting the players and not letting them tackle a certain way, and yet they want to tack on more games. So it's all about...
And speaking of player safety, quote unquote player safety, how about that new rule in college football? It's called where it's like the Dejavidian clowning rule, as I call it.
Remember when
South Carolina beat that Michigan guy in the bowl game, Outback Bowl last year? That's a felony now. That's a felony now.
Well, you see,
that's
a fucking
felony
now. So they don't understand. Clowney was the guy lowered his head. Clowney was not aiming for the guy's helmet.
Right.
But you got to remember. You got to remember the defensive. A defensive player is going at a moving target. So once he commits to tackling a certain spot, if the guy moves, you can't really hold the defensive player accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing, thing is very silly. And
it's
I don't know what they expect.
Curse.
Yeah. So I don't know what you expect them to do, but the whole thing is getting pretty silly.
Football. It's turning into Powderpuff right before our very eyes.
The bottom line is we can talk all day about market share and TV ratings and whether to expand or not. The bottom line is this year the Big Ten has to get it done on the field. They have to restore their reputation and start winning some games and get two or three teams in the top 10 and win a couple of major bowl games, if not the national championship.
All right, so bottom line again for you. Do you think the Big Ten is going to have a representative in the national championship game? Your gut feeling.
Yeah, I would. Well, if I had to bet one way or the other, I would say Urban and Ohio State are going to get it done. I'm obviously biased, but I think the schedule. You're right. The schedule is favorable. We don't have a major road game with a top non-conference school like we've had in some years past. The Michigan game is at home. The Wisconsin game is at home. Everything's pointing to being able to get it done. We got a Heisman Trophy guy at quarterback who can throw 4,000 and run 4,000. You got a top defense. We got everything is there. Everything is there. There's no reason it will be a major disappointment if Ohio State doesn't play Alabama or whoever for the national championship. You couldn't ask for the stars to light up any better than they are. So,
right.
You guys could be able to do it.
The schedule produce enough to do it. You guys could schedule to do it.
Yeah, everything
I mean,
is lined up. The schedule's in our favor. Most of our toughest games are at home, and they ought to be able to. They've got confidence from last year from winning all their games. They got a lot of people back. They ought to be hungry because they played all those games last year and didn't get to go to the national championship. It's a little bit like if you go out on a date with a girl that you really like and you get to second base and you make another date with her, you know, you're excited about it. You think you're ready to take it on in.
I'm against them.
That's right. So, I don't mean to turn this into an R-rated podcast, but
last year, use my profanity.
last year felt like we took the prom queen to the prom and we had to take her home early, and this year there's no mm-hmm. curfew.
right, exactly.
So there's no excuse for not getting it done. It's everything's there.
You guys are ranked number 2 in the country in the preseason polls.
Yeah, number 2 in one of the
polls. And I think both polls, I'm not mistaken, because you got everybody coming back.
The polls just represent how you did last year and who's coming back. So obviously you go undefeated, and I don't know where Notre Dame is. They ought to be pretty high too.
Yes.
Notre Dame's position.
Notre Dame is 14th in the AP.
Oh really?
11th in the USA.
That low.
Yeah. But you guys are number 2 in both polls. So you guys are set up.
Well,
so
everything.
A lot of the pronouncers say it's going to be you guys against Bama, and I believe that. Mm-hmm. I think both your schedules and Alabama's schedules are so conducive that it'll take a major upset to prevent that from happening.
You don't think Manziel will get him again? Huh? I think Saban will have some form like that. You don't think Manziel will get him this time?
Nah. The too many distractions. John Manziel's a head case. He's the Lindsay Lohan of college football.
I'm not going to say he's a head case, but he just, as a 20-year-old kid, it was a lot of success to get that early. He wasn't really ready for it.
Yeah, that was cool.
But most 20-year-old would have done what he did. So.
Well, that's true. I mean, if it was me, I probably would have had more. I probably would have thrown in more women with my booze, but that's just me.
I could have had more problems, right. I can't fault the kid. But I enjoyed you having me on, man. That was fun to do this.
Hey, no worries, man. And I'll get you in for subsequent podcasts, man. So stay tuned.
Okay.
I'm coming after you.
I will stay tuned,
right,
and
dude,
I will keep listening. And thank you. Good night.
All right, peace out, dudes. 06, bro. All right, that was my man, Jeff Glenn. Talking Big Ten football, and he's pretty high on his Ohio State Buckeyes, as am I. I think this is the year for the Big Ten to take down the big bad SEC in the championship game. I didn't get him to ask him if he thinks the SEC is overrated. I think that he's a student to realize that the SEC is not necessarily overrated. But I think this is the best year, in my opinion, for someone to take down, whether it be a Bama or LSU or hell, even A&M, if John Manziel gets his act together in time, but I think that Ohio State is college football's best chance of dethroning the juggernaut that is the SEC. At any rate, thanks for tuning in, folks. I apologize again for the technical difficulties early in the podcast, but we're looking to talk more pro football Friday when we talked to Kevin Whedon about the Carolina Panthers, what to expect from them in 2013. But until then, this is Scott Burks. You've been listening to the Clown Hour. And until next time, 06, we out. Peace.